Blessed are you, O God, King of the universe, who's commanded us to celebrate the Passover in sincerity and truth. Recognizing Jesus, our Messiah and our Lord, we bless your name, God, today. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk about what Passover is. It means God spreads his wings over people to protect and to shelter. And there's nothing more like that when you snuggle in your covers at night. Did you remember when you were a kid and you felt like the monsters can't get me under these covers? But under his wings, it's a shelter and a protection. And when Jesus was on the earth, he says, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." And talking about the Jews. And we said, picture Jesus coming and gathering all the children under his wings. What do we need to be protected from? Why did God give us all this imagery? It's because sin separates us from God. Eternal death. And how many in here have sinned before? If you didn't raise your hand, I would come and find you. And probably within a minute, I'll find out that you're a sinner. And if I didn't raise my hand, my wife would tell you how sinful I really am. And that separates us from God. And so we need something to happen. Death will pass over us. And way back at the beginning of time, and you're going to find when the kids do their skit today, how death passed over. God planned that with Moses as an image and prophecy of what Jesus was to fulfill in the future. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So even when we try to do good things, sin taints us, and there is no goodness left in us for God. So Jesus, our Messiah, rids us of our leaven. And this is the passage of Scripture that talks about Passover in the New Testament. It said, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that the little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump." How do you like that? He calls us lumps. It would be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What's happened there? He took away our sins, and he gave us sincerity and truth that we can walk in his goodness in his righteousness. So I want to ask you today, before our worship team will come and we'll sing these first songs today, do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah who can forgive your sins? He died on the cross and rose again from the dead on the third day to remove your leaven or sin. And if you don't know what leaven is, it's the stuff that makes bread rise. Right here we have a piece of unleavened bread. No leaven is in it, and it's flat as a pancake. And what is he saying there? Sin represents leaven. It puffs us up in pride. And so we remove that sin, or we do that. Jesus removes that by a sacrifice on the cross. And we celebrate the Passover with sincerity and in truth. So I want to ask you today, as we sing these songs and celebrate, and I want to ask our worship team to come, are you under the wings of Jesus the Messiah? Let's worship Jesus, our Messiah. Let's stand and find shelter under his wings as we celebrate the coming of our King and as we sing Hosanna, welcoming our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior.
Amen. If you'll stand with us as we prepare to worship, this is Palm Sunday as well, as we're learning about the Passover. So let's just sing and declare the power of Jesus' name this morning together as one body and one spirit, one mind, one accord in this church. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Amen. Just join us, church, as we declare the triumphant entrance of Jesus, not only those many years ago, but in our hearts and in our midst this morning. Let's sing Hosanna.
Oh, praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Hosanna. Hosanna. You are the God who saves us. Worthy of all our praises. Hosanna. Hosanna. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Oh, hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to you. Oh, in your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make us new. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Hosanna. Hosanna. You are the God who saves us. Worthy of all our praises. Hosanna. Hosanna. Come.
Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Let's sing it.
Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Jesus, we just celebrate you, God. We thank you, Lord, that your plan, you would come to us, Lord. That you would march and you would ride into a city that you knew would never accept you, Lord, and would ultimately want to kill you. But God, you did that for us. So, Lord, we just celebrate you this morning. So, church, let us lift his name. Let us declare that he is the famous one, that he is above all things, above everything on the earth and in it and under it. So we just declare this morning that, Lord, you are the famous one. Let's just declare this morning, church.
You are the Lord, the famous one, famous one. Great is your name in all the earth. Oh, the heavens declare your glorious, glorious. Great is your fame on the earth, and for all you've done and yet to do, with every breath I'm praising you. Desire of nations and every heart, you alone are God.
Let's declare.
You alone are God. For you are the Lord, the famous one, famous one. Great is your name in all the earth.
Yes.
The heavens declare your glorious, glorious. Great is your fame beyond the earth. The morning star is shining through, and every eye is praising you. By nature and miracles, you are beautiful.
Come on, church, let's say this.
You are beautiful.
Yes, Jesus.
You are the Lord, the famous one, famous one. Great is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your glorious, glorious. So great is your fame beyond the earth.
Let's lift our voices again.
For you are the Lord, the famous one, famous one. So great is your name in all the earth. Heavens declare your glorious, glorious. So great is your fame beyond the earth.
Let's just lift our voices, church.
You are the Lord.
Come on, declare it.
The famous one, famous one. Great is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your glorious, glorious. Great is your fame beyond the earth.
Amen. Amen. Jesus, we celebrate you. We exalt you as our Savior and God. You are beyond famous. You are the God of the universe. To you belongs all the glory alone. And God, our hearts are excited today as we come before your presence. Lord, that we could even come and delight in you, that we could even come and praise you. What a gift of grace that you've given us, that we can come into the throne room, into the Holy of Holies, because of what you have done for us, Jesus. Thank you, God, and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to invite you just to take a moment right now, because in the illustration here, there's something that the Jews would always do at Passover, and we're talking about how Christ fulfills the Passover. But the house would go through a thorough cleaning. I mean, they had to pass the white glove test, and they had to get rid of every bit of leaven. And when we talk about leaven, we're talking about sin in our lives, and I'm going to invite you in a moment to bow your hearts. But what they would do is the wife would clean the house and leave a little crumb in the corner of leaven. And the husbands would go in and they would scrape that into this wooden spoon and would say, "Now I have rid my house of leaven." And what he was saying there and what they were celebrating is that we are free from sin. And then they would wrap this up and they would take it in the city street and all the men would burn these. In other words, they were saying, "I'm done with sin." And I want to invite you, just take a moment, kids, adults, all of us, just to close our eyes and let God search our hearts and say, "Search me, O God. I need to find every bit of leaven that's inside of me. And God, would you remove this from my life?" And as we do that, perhaps we confess our sins by name to God. And, you know, it's not just, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins." But when we confess, we're acknowledging them by name, each of them, whether it's pride or I hit my brother or sister or I disobeyed my parents or I disrespected my wife, my husband, whatever it is, confess them by name to God in the quietness of this moment. Amen. It feels good, doesn't it, to know that Jesus, our Messiah, forgives us of our sins, that we confess those and we give them to him, just like when they would take that and burn that and say, "It's over, it's done with," in the streets. And this is a kind of a picture of Jews doing that. Of course, we don't need to do this, right? We can come boldly to Jesus. The other thing that happens is that in the household, everybody got new clothes for Passover. They got rid of the old, because we're getting rid of the old and the sin, and now we're putting on new clothes. And the Bible talks a lot about giving us garments, and we're clothed with God's goodness, with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is the prophecy in Isaiah. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and the bride adorns herself with jewels." When we come to Christ, he gives us new clothes. And so today we're going to do a clothing line runway. And we have some models, and so let's give them a hand as they come in. Our first model is the line of Adam and Eve. The line of Adam and Eve struts his stuff, full of pride, full of envy, full of greed, full of shame, full of condemnation, full of murder, full of hate. The line of Adam and Eve, ladies and gentlemen. Old clothes, the rags. And let us welcome our next line, which is the messianic line. We have the Adam's line, but now we have the line of Jesus, the Messiah, who clothes us in righteousness. Let's give Sandy Ferguson a hand. Look at her strut the righteousness, not righteousness of her own, because we know that she has none of her own, and we don't either. But the righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ, He makes us clean. Well, thank you, Sandy. The messianic line. Which line would you rather have? Which line would you rather have? Adam and Eve's line or the line of Jesus, the Messiah, the new Adam? Are you clothed in Jesus' righteousness? Have you turned to put your faith in Jesus Christ and allowed yourself to be clean? You know, there's a reason why the priests would wear white clothes and white gowns is the symbolizing of that righteousness. Are you clothed in garments? You remember that hymn, "Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" And this is the sacrifice that Jesus has done for us. And when we're speaking of that blood of the Lamb, when we go through our story of Passover, in the Old Testament, a lamb had to be sacrificed to cover our sin and to protect us from death. And when the Israelites were in Egypt, they came to this place where God was sending the plagues, and they're going to illustrate that last plague today, which is death that passed over. And so they sacrificed a lamb. It had to be a perfect lamb without spot or blemish. And they would put it on the doorpost, and they're going to illustrate it a little bit later, but it makes the shape of a cross. But in those Egyptian homes, there was a threshold to keep water from coming in the house. So when they would take the hyssop branches and they would dip it in that lamb's blood, and they would do the top and the sides of the door, and it would pour into that basin and fill it up. And that's exactly what happens. So a lamb is needed, and we have a special treat for the kids today. Baba is no longer a puppet. The Lord has brought him to life. So I want to invite all the kids to come down today and meet Baba. You have to be really quiet because he's scared. How would you like to have Baba as a pet in your house? Doesn't he look really cuddly? Now, he's a little wild. He was just born in January. And you know, the Bible compares us to sheep. And we found out how stubborn sheep are on the way here, on the car ride here this morning from Red House Hill. But we thank the farmer, Pastor Bailey, who let us borrow one of his lambs today. Maybe he'll talk to you if you go Baha. You want to try it? Baha! He was talking all the way here to us, so he wouldn't keep quiet in the car. But isn't he cute? But you know, we need a lamb for sacrifice. And so do you think we should sacrifice Baba for our sins?
No!
Why not?
Because it's a cute sheep.
Yeah. You know, the Israelites would have this sheep in their house and they would keep it and the kids would get close to it. It would be like a family pet. But then they would sacrifice it to know what sacrifice was like. And the reason why we don't have to sacrifice this sweet lamb today is because Jesus already died on the cross as the Lamb of God. So we can thank Jesus for that. We're saving his life. So sacrifice is no longer needed. Jesus, our Messiah, is the substitute for our sins. If you notice on the Seder plate, there's a lamb shank bone and then there's an egg. The Jews started incorporating the egg in because there's no animal sacrifices anymore after the fall of the temple. And so no sacrifice of the lamb is needed. And Baba says that was close, right? You can go have your seat this morning. Thank you so much. You saved Baba's life by pleading Jesus. And think about that. Our life is saved. And it was costly when Jesus died on the cross for our sins in our place. And there was a reason why God allowed the Jewish kids to endure the pain of losing their pet. It's because sacrifice is sacrifice. We don't know what sacrifice is today. It's not just giving your toy that's an extra toy that you don't like to somebody. It would be given your best toy to somebody that you would never want to give them. That would be sacrifice. So they put the blood on the doorposts and Jesus died so that his blood could be applied to our doorposts. He says where there is forgiveness of these and talking about our sins, there is no longer an offering for sin. So when the temple was destroyed, the Jews wondered, why did we have to do this egg thing? Why can't we sacrifice lambs anymore? Because they can't do it. They have to have the perfect lambs. They have to have the temple in place. Because Jesus came and did away with that and replaced that so we can permanently be set free from our sins. And you know, we're kind of like this lamb a little bit. In a lot of ways, well, in many ways, as I thought about it, because he's kind of stubborn. He looks cute, but when we were trying to catch him and get him in there, and this morning he was trying to ram the fence. When one lamb goes through another way, what do they all do? They all follow. So if that lamb is going over a cliff, they're all going over the cliff. Doesn't that sound like us a little bit? When God reaches out in love towards us. So let's take a moment and think about the sacrifice that Jesus made for you so that death will pass over us so that we can live forever in heaven. So let's take a moment just to think about that. The seriousness and the gravity and the weight, the sacrifice Jesus made for us. He shed his blood once and for all sins. And those who have put their trust in have his blood sprinkled on their hearts forever. No longer on a doorpost, but spiritually on our hearts. Well, when the Passover begins, there's another powerful thing. Remember, Jesus was born of a virgin. And when they began their Passover, and I'm going to ask our ladies to come and light our menorahs here. There's seven. This is much like what they put in the early temple in the Old Testament. Seven being the number of perfection, that God is perfectly holy. Jesus, our Messiah, who is the light of the world, was born of the Virgin Mary. They have, in the Old Temple, they would have, in Herod's temple, they had one of these, a huge one outside the temple, and they have a model of it in Jerusalem. But Jesus cried out with a loud voice next to that thing and said, I am the light of the world. And it's by no mistake that the Jews still start out with the women lighting the candles. They don't know why, but we know why, because Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, born of a woman to bear our sins in our place. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and those dwelling in the region of the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned, speaking of the birth of Jesus Christ, our Messiah and our Savior. Aren't you glad Jesus was sent down to be born for us? I know that lamb is. Jesus, our Messiah, shed his blood. And as we go throughout the Passover, you've noticed that there are four cups here. And there are four sayings in Exodus about the cups of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, when he took Passover with the disciples, the kids are going to be dismissed because they're going to do something special for us in a moment. But there are four cups. There's the cup of sanctification, the cup of judgment, cup of redemption, and the cup of praise. And these are scriptures taken from Exodus 6 to Exodus 6:6 to 6:7. He says, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. That's our sanctification. He said, I'm going to rescue you from their slavery. That's God's judgment. And we're going to find out about God's judgment on the Egyptians in a moment. And he says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with acts of judgment. That's the cup of redemption. And then the cup of praise is, I will take you to be my own. And so when we come to the first cup today, is the cup of sanctification. People that believe in Jesus the Messiah are set apart and holy. So when he puts these robes of righteousness on you spiritually, you are set apart. And it is a lifelong process. And as a friend of mine put it, it's like smelling of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We go through many deaths, so to speak, spiritually. Every time we have an addiction or a sin or a thing that we struggle with, and we put it to death under the blood of Jesus. And it's that lifelong process of being made more like him. He says, I am Yahweh, and I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. So our sanctification is not a burden. It's not something that we try to do on our own. In the Old Testament, it says, I will take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will move you to obey my commandments. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us to sanctify us, to help us to become more like Christ and make us more like Christ. That's right. The cup of sanctification. And so they would drink that. I'm going to symbolically drink it, and you're going to partake of communion. If you didn't get a communion cup, please go back and get one back there during some point here. So we drink of the cup of sanctification, knowing that Jesus does his work in us. Oh, I lost my thing. There we go. Now, there's another part, and I would like to have two volunteers, if there's two people that would come up and help me. This was a part of the meal. Jesus washed the disciples' feet, but when they would come in, they would also do a ceremonial cleansing of the hands throughout this time. And Jesus' first miracle was done in a big pot or a jar that was used for the ceremonial cleansing of water. So two volunteers. Who wants to come up and help me? Actually, four. Anybody? You want to come up and help? Come on. We're going to symbolically wash people's hands. Okay, you can go down there and one of you carry the bowl. And then you go to some people and dip their hands. Find the dirtiest hands in here and clean them. We need one more volunteer on this. Go on, Derby. And one of you take the towel and go wash some people's hands. Find some dirty hands. There's a lot of dirty hands in here, a lot of sinners in here. You see, when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, he says to them, and Peter said, you shall never wash my feet, Jesus. And Jesus says, if I do not wash you, you have no share in me. So we must allow spiritually Jesus to wash us and make us clean, to make us a part of his family. He says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now, Peter always goes overboard, doesn't he? No one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. He was referring to Judas, for he knew who was going to betray him and why he said, not all of you are clean. Did we get all the dirty hands? You don't have to do everybody. You can come now if you're tired of carrying that bowl. You can set it back down here. Oh, yeah, there's some more dirty hands. Don't you think Dad needs more than just his hands clean? All right, let's give them a hand. You guys can come and put your bowls down. Thank you. Was having lots of fun today. If you notice on my plate, there's some greens here, and that is the parsley. And the parsley is kind of a bitter herb. I mean, some of us might like to sit and eat parsley. Is there anybody that would like to eat parsley by itself? Anybody in here? It gives you good breath. It does. I don't know if I can give it to him or not. I don't know. There's certain things the farmer said that he can't eat, so I'm not going to do it. But who thinks that? Let's nominate somebody. Who thinks that Bruce should eat a sprig of parsley? Is there anybody in here? Come on down, Bruce. So while we're doing that, we're talking about how sin destroys lives. But let's take a moment to pray for somebody that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It could be our family member. It could be our neighbors. If we would bow our heads and lift their names up before the Lord, because bitter are the herbs, but when we pray for the salvation of those that are still in slavery, it's a miserable place to be. Let's try it, Bruce. Oh, yeah, he put in the whole thing. Baba's jealous. Delicious. Thank you. Okay, we'll give him a hand. So let's take a moment, let's bow our heads and pray for somebody that's still caught in the slavery of sin. I want to encourage you to pray every day for those friends and those neighbors. You know, the Israelites understood this. They would have a cup of salt water, and they would dip the parsley in that to symbolize tears, because our tears are salty. And we should have a heart of evangelism for the lost. We should have tears for those that are still gripped in slavery. Baba agrees. He's so quiet when it's covered up, but... So if you notice here also, there is a matzah piece of bread there. Jesus, our Messiah, opened the way through his body to have a relationship with God. And at this moment, they would take the matzah. The priest would take the matzah and he would break it in half. And then he would hide it somewhere, and then the kids will find it later. The Jews never knew or understood why they would do that. If you notice here, the matzah, the way they would set it up, there's three pieces. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The middle one symbolizing Christ. They would take it out and break it in half and then hide it. And then they would have the kids find it later. But that's exactly what happened to Jesus' body when he was buried. He was hidden. And then 3 days rose again from the grave. And so that was found. We will hide that later. And that is called the Afikomen, which means literally, I have come. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. So here's what the body of Jesus does for us and why the matzah is important. Hebrews 10 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain that is his body. And do you remember what happened when Jesus said it is finished? The Holy of Holies, where God's presence was, there is a thick curtain that's probably about 3 or 4 foot wide, was torn from top to bottom. symbolizing that he made the way through his body. It says through his flesh. And that's why when we partake of communion, we say this is the body of Christ. And let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, and with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. So you wonder why all these crazy rituals God established in the Old Testament. It was to give us pictures and illustrations that all point to Jesus' fulfillment of what happens on the inside of us spiritually. Much like baptism. Baptism doesn't save us, but when we go in the water, it symbolizes what God does in the inside of us of making us die to our sins and rise to a new life. So at this time, we're going to have the story of the Passover, and the kids are going to give us a special presentation today.
Firstborn children are going to die tonight. Mommy, I am the firstborn in our family.
Yes, Daniel, you are the firstborn. But that's why God said, because we put the lamb's blood on the door, that he would protect us and watch over our children.
Is this my
spirit? Yes, that's right.
This whole thing doesn't feel right. You don't really believe the God of Moses would let every firstborn child in Egypt die, do you?
I don't know. He's so powerful. He's already sent the other plagues. I'm scared.
Just then, the baby of Pharaoh started to cry. All over Egypt, there were sounds of crying babies and loud wailing.
He's dead! He's dead! Our baby boy is dead!
That does it. These Israelites must leave.
Forgot your sheep. Let's give them a hand. So to reiterate the story of Passover, the Israelites were in slavery to the Egyptians, and they, on their backs, they built those pyramids that we see today, grinding the brick mortar, much like this. It looks like a little bit like this, and I'll explain that in a moment. This made to look like brick mortar there, that it's called Haraset. It's a mixture of nuts and apples and other things. But God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, remember, and said, I want you to go and let my people go. And Moses came before Pharaoh with those 10 plagues, with the last one being death. And Pharaoh finally let them go. But these were the plagues. Water turns to blood. There's amphibians or frogs, gnats, not this gnat over here, flies, disease or livestock, unhealable boils, hail and fire and locusts and darkness. And I don't know about you, after the first one, not being able to have good drinking water, I would have been done. I was like, get these folks out of here. But that's how hard and stubborn sin is inside of us. And no matter what, even with the miracles, even people didn't believe when they saw miracles right before their eyes. So the death of the firstborn was what finally got through to Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh, remember, changed his mind. And so the Israelites were saved by the blood, and the angel of death passed by their house. And then God let his people go. And then remember, the waters came back. And there's a lot of, it's real interesting because there's a lot of archaeological evidence now today that they're finding more and more evidence that there was an open way there and that the waters came and there's chariots under there and all the stuff. It's coming to light. So everything you find in Scripture, it's going to be proven by the archaeological studies. Now, at this point in the ceremony, there's some interesting questions that the kids would always ask, and I'm going to just briefly explain those. But they would say, you know, when they celebrate the Passover, this is generations later, it says, why is this night different from all their nights? On all their nights we eat leavened bread or unleavened bread, but on this night we eat only unleavened bread. Once we were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord in his goodness and mercy brought the children of Israel forth from the land with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. So the first question concerns the use of the matzah. We eat this unleavened bread to remember that the people of Israel, in their haste, as they left quickly, as you saw, could not wait for the bread to rise, and they removed the bread from the oven while it was still flat. And so, which is why to this day they would leave the leaven out to symbolize that. And that was the first question. The second question is, on other nights we eat all kinds of herbs, but on this night we only eat the bitter herbs. And we have parsley, and then that other white stuff at the bottom is horseradish. Someone will probably volunteer to taste that in a little bit. But we take the bitter herbs to remember how bitter it was, to remind ourselves how bitter is the lot of one caught in slavery. And you say, well, we haven't been slaves, but we have been slaves to sin. And God set this whole thing up for a beautiful picture. And then the third question is, on all nights, we do not dip even once, but on this night, we dip twice. And so they would dip the parsley in that salt water twice. In the course, this service, greens in the salt water, and then more or bitter herbs in the haraset, one to replace tears with gratefulness, and one to sweet bitterness with suffering. So during this, they would take a piece of bread, and they would take the bitter herbs and eat that. But then they would cover it over with that sweet apple mixture stuff. And so and there's always redemption in view here to sweeten the bitterness of suffering. Jesus Christ came. Then the last question was, if you notice that there's pillows here, and the Jews, and I'm not going to try to do it because somebody's going to have to come and get me back up, but they would lay down and lean on one another and recline on pillows and rest. And so to recline at mealtimes in ancient days was a sign of freedom. It was like, we're chilled out, we're relaxed, we're free. So on this night of Passover, the tradition of reclining would demonstrate the sense of complete freedom. And I don't know about you, if you think about that, you know, day in and day out being whipped, being forced to build these pyramids and being set free, and you and I being beaten by the evil one, being beaten by our sin and all the things that we do. And this is the picture. What does Jesus say? Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you. And Hebrews talks about that being permanent rest. We no longer have to worry about it anymore. He delivers us once and for all that we could rest in Him. We don't have to work to earn God's favor anymore. We don't have to try to claw our way into heaven. Jesus paid for it all. The Lamb of God was sacrificed. And we recline in freedom and rest in Him. And after they would have the children ask these questions, they would go through and remind them of the 10 plagues of Egypt. But then they would have this song, and this song was called Deinu. And I'm going to ask if the worship team could come as we sing this next set of songs. But they would say, if God had brought us out of Egypt, and then Pharaoh would have gotten us at the river, it would have been enough. If we would have made it across the river, and the river closed up on us, it would have been enough. And so it shows the heart of extreme gratitude. And I had a mentor that would always say to me, he said, Michael, I want you to think every day of something that you're most grateful for and think of the thing that you are least grateful for. And think about that for a moment. What are you least grateful for in your life right now? If that is never removed, God is still enough.
Amen.
If that suffering or if that pain or if that on this earth is never removed, it's still enough. It would have been enough. So are you grateful for God's grace and deliverance even while you're going through trials? I know I am. And that's what that whole Deinu song was about. So we're going to sing a song that's similar to that called Jehovah Jireh, My Provider.
Amen. If you'll stand with us as we worship the Lord. You may know this one from past Passover meals that we've done. So if we can practice, maybe you want to practice clapping. This would be a good Sunday morning for us to get our arms moving, right? But you can do that. But let's just sing about Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my need, according to His riches and glory. He gives His angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me again. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my need, according to His riches and glory. He gives His angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Let's sing. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me.
Let's sing that again.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that you are grateful. That's powerful what Pastor said. Just think of the thing you're most ungrateful for. And Jesus is enough. Thank you, Jesus. So we will praise you, Adonai.
Like him, the lion and the lamb, seated on the throne.
No one like you, God.
Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Oh, praise Adonai from the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise.
Let's sing that again.
Who is like him, the lion and the lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts.
Let's sing praises.
Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise Adonai.
Praise you, God.
From the rising of the sun to the end of every day, praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's just praise the name of Yahweh. We glorify you this morning, Jesus, that instead of lambs, instead of our works, God, instead of things that we had to do, Lord, you came and you took away all of those things and sacrificed yourself for us this morning.
At your name, the mountains shake and crumble.
Yes, Jesus.
At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out.
Let's cry out, church.
Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord. Shout your name. The morning breaks in glory. Is that your name? Creation sings your story.
Yes, listen, church.
At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Let's declare this together.
There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing. Shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Let's sing that again, church.
Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Let's declare that line again.
Oh, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Let's say it again, church.
Oh, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'll never forget Mary Williams being in the hospital, just came out of surgery, was still under the anesthesia singing this song to the doctors and the nurses and anyone will listen. Yahweh, Yahweh. It was just what was in her heart. Rejoice in that. When we come to the second cup, we talk about the cup of judgment and how Jesus bore God's wrath for us in our place. And he says, I will deliver you from slavery to them. Jesus took the wrath of God that is against us and took it for himself. And that is the second cup, the cup of God's judgment. This is not real wine, by the way, just in case you're worried as we work our way across there. But this is one of my favorite pictures about Jesus Christ bearing our wrath, the wrath of God for us in our place. When he died on the cross in our place for our sins, all of God's anger towards our sin, he took the judgment for it, for us. This is an artist's rendering, of course, but you see spiritually what happened there. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, God turning his back and his wrath being upon Christ for our sins is a beautiful picture. And I want to invite you to just take a moment to remember the day that you were delivered from God's wrath, the day that you were born again. Just close your eyes for a moment. Think about that day. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he invites you to come to him now and put your faith in what he's done on the cross. Put your trust in him. You don't have to bear the wrath of God. Jesus did it for you, and we put our trust in him. So let's take a moment to remember the day you were born again. And in celebration of that, we have what's called the first portion of praise, or it's called the Hallel songs that they would do. And keep in mind, a Passover dinner goes all week long. And so we're just shortening everything and putting it all. But I'm going to invite Gordon, if you could stand, you can come up here, or you could stay there. But just read Psalms which psalm that you chose out loud. And it gives us a picture of that gratitude for Jesus bearing our wrath. Amen. So I'm going to skip some things. But at this point in the Passover, this is when they would celebrate and talk about the lamb. We no longer need the lamb. We no longer need that hard-boiled egg because Jesus is the Messiah. And through the sacrifice of Jesus, he was the perfect, sinless Son of God. He was a substitute for our sins, and he shed his blood in our place. And so then they would have a second washing of hands. We're not going to worry about that right now. I talked about the three layers, but let's talk about the unleavened bread. And I would just like to invite someone to come forward and sample the parsley here. Is there any volunteers? Would you like to volunteer? Remember, it brings tears to your eyes, though. There's a reason why they would partake of this, because bitterness is the sin. You can take a piece of the cracker, and dip in that white stuff. No. Is there any volunteers that would try that? Gordon will? You will? Okay, both of you come down. We'll see if it brings tears to their eyes. Get a big old glob of that stuff. Somebody better help Gordon back to his seat. The bitter herbs and the parsley to remind them of the bitterness of sin and slavery to sin and the tears that it causes. And you know, when we mourn over the death of Jesus who took the punishment for our sins, that's what brings us to repentance, is knowing that Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for us and realize that sin is a cruel oppressor in our lives. And so again, Jesus is the Messiah, and he invites us to repent and believe the gospel. It says, now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And when there's repentance, it brings tears because of the sacrifice that Jesus has made, because of the heart that is changed. Now, I want to ask for another volunteer to come and take. Even though sin is bitter, the sweetness comes with our deliverance from sin. And I worked really hard with the chopper. No, it was an electric chopper. Making this brick mortar. Does anybody want to sample the brick mortar? This is the good part. You want to come? Do you want to try it? Okay. Let me help you. Here you go. I'm going to give you a piece of bread and you just dip it in that. Okay. Do you want to try some too? Here you go, Ian. How does it taste?
What's the recipe?
You need the recipe?
It's delicious.
It's delicious, he says.
Chicken and bacon.
And you know why it's delicious? Because after suffering with our sin and Jesus pays for our sin, we're no longer in slavery. Oh, you're double dipping now. Let's give her a hand. It is good. All that stuff I threw in there. It's really a mixture of nuts and apples and a little bit of honey and a little bit of wine and other things. So at this point, we normally eat the Passover meal, but we're going to do this at the end of the service. And they would have a blessing after the meal. And then they would find the afikoman, and even though I didn't have time to hide it today, we would send the kids around to find it. And they would bring it out, and that's in celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you didn't get a communion cup, I want to invite you for this moment, as we come to this moment and finding the afikoman in Jesus Christ being resurrected from the dead for our sins, let's celebrate together. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. And there's some cups back there if you want to grab some real quick. I'll give you a minute. That's fine. If you notice, on this matzah, it has stripes. It says in Isaiah, by his stripes we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions, the piercings. And so when we take this, Jesus said, this is my body which is broken for you. And so if you have a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you to partake in remembering our Savior who is risen from the dead and through whose body we can have a relationship with God. Let us eat in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And many scholars believe it is at this point when Jesus comes to the third cup in that Passover meal, or the third sip, is freedom from slavery to sin. This cup speaks of forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. And so if you want to take our cups as we celebrate the redemption of Jesus Christ for our sins, Jesus said, this is my blood, which is poured out for many. Take and drink in remembrance of me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, if you notice, even though this was Pharaoh's chair, we're going to make this John the Baptist chair now. At every Passover table, they would leave an empty place for Elijah to come. Because when they believed when the Messiah was coming, there was going to be someone that would come before him. And that was John the Baptist, obviously. And so at this time, does anybody want to check to see if Elijah has come? Because he came in the spirit of John the Baptist. But he's going to come again at the second coming of Jesus Christ to prepare the way. And so go check and see if Elijah is back at the door. The prophet Elijah, do you hear anybody knocking back there? You hear anybody? No? Sandy, do you want to go check to see if Elijah, the prophet Elijah, is at the door? You better quick, I don't know if he's there or not. No? You don't see any prophets out there? Well, that means Jesus hasn't come back yet. So that was Elijah's face. And so I want to ask you, as we still are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, are you ready for him to come back? Are you ready for the coming of Jesus? And then the last cup, which we're going to celebrate together when we go to our meal in just a few moments, is the cup of acceptance. Where God says, I'm going to take you and make you my people. So some of us grow up in families where we don't always have a mother, a brother, or sister, or we don't have a father that loves us or a mother that loves us, and we have grandparents that take care of us. It doesn't matter, because when we receive Jesus Christ, he says, you're part of my family now. I will take you to be my people. I will be your God, and you will know that Yahweh is your God. So Jesus, our Messiah, adopts us into God's forever family. And this is Ephesians 1. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Sanctification. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. So this is my favorite verse, and I always have to bring it up. Because when I was back in college and back in those days where I doubted who I was and was always worried about people accepting and that sort of thing, this verse really came to me because I was living my life in fear of what other people thought of me. And even some of that can carry on later in life, and it's not just teenage years, it carries on into our adult life as well. But he said, you not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you be received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy, Father. We've been adopted, and we celebrate that and they would read these other psalms in the gospel, and then they would give a final prayer. And I want to leave you with this prayer today and ask you, are you ready for Jesus to return? And have you received Jesus as your Messiah? Don't leave this place without doing that. When we go in the back today, we're going to have a wonderful meal together. And so at the end of this service, I want to invite you to just go back and take a seat. And we're going to take that final cup together in the fellowship hall, the cup of acceptance, and just ask God's blessing on our meal back there and just enjoy the time of fellowship. If you have any questions, by the way, we do have these Passover books that we put together that have the whole thing. You can either borrow one or have one. I'll have to find where the extra copies are. But this is called a Passover Haggadah, which is the service of all that we've gone through today, and we've incorporated all the scriptures in that. So if you have any other questions, feel free to ask. So I want, before I go up here, when we do our final prayer, out of respect for God, and as in good Jewish form, we cover our heads out of respect that someone is over us. And by the way, you wonder why the Jewish men would wear this cap that I have on. And that was their way of saying, I'm under the authority of God. I recognize that there is a creator in the universe and a God in the heaven. And so I cover my head. It's opposite here, isn't it? When we pray, we take off our caps. It's a little bit opposite, but in Jewish culture, it's cover your head when you pray. Blessed are you, O God, creator of the universe, who has blessed us with your glorious grace. Thank you for the free gift of eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Passover lamb. Thank you for taking our place, taking our punishment. And, oh, Lord, we're grateful today. We're grateful to be free from the slavery of sin. We're grateful to enjoy this meal together as we come before you. We thank you for your freedom, your healing, your redemption, your sanctification. You're working in each and every one of our lives. Oh, Lord, we give you all the glory and honor, and I pray that you bless every person that's here this morning. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, we pray. Amen.